Well, good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and this is SouthCars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This net is conducted under the guidelines of the SouthCars organization and further follows the rules outlined in FCC Part 97 and Good Amateur Practice. This SouthCars server is supplied by the Great Lakes Reflector System, provided by Kilo Bravo 8 Zulu Golf Lima, and all contacts and requests for information will be handled through the net control. When contact with another station is made, please move off the system and establish your contact direct so the net may continue. In fairness to all, short-time stations will not be recognized as such. All stations will be worked in the order in which they have checked in. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for this digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net controls actually for this evening, like Gordon was saying, are VO1UKZ, Daryl in Newfoundland, and Gary is his backup, KC2RMO from Syracuse. I'm merely opening it up this evening. My name is Kathy. My call sign is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. And my location is beautiful Port St. Lucie, Florida, where it's currently a temperature of 84 wonderful degrees, and we had a high of about 89. Tonight, I believe, we'll be down in about the low 70s. But prior to starting, I'd like to ask if there's any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled. If so, please come aboard. All right, hearing no emergency traffic, that's always a great thing. Now, do we have anyone celebrating their birthday this week, last week, or this upcoming week that would like to come aboard? And right now, we're looking for those birthday stations. Okay, I see we have no birthday stations. Actually, I'll be a birthday station. My birthday was actually May the 19th. That was Tuesday. And I had a real grand birthday, so I'll be that birthday station. Everyone, once again, I want to thank you to the TIN open forum this evening. It's also called the Thursday Informational Net Open Forum, or TIN for short. This net is conducted to provide information pursuant to amateur-related subjects and or other areas of general interest to those participating. All are encouraged to participate and ask questions of our guest speaker or speakers. But I do want to advise everyone that our session is being recorded for future presentation on our website as a podcast, so all stations participating will be definitely part of that recording. So with that, and no further ado, I'm going to throw it over to our Masters of Ceremony this evening, and I'll start with you, Daryl, VO1UKZ. I'm really looking forward to your program this evening because I have those mobile devices you're going to be talking about. So please come aboard, and the floor is all yours.
Good evening, Kathy. Good evening, everybody on SouthCars this evening. Well, I guess we'll start things off by wishing you a belated happy birthday. I actually didn't get on the net this past Saturday. I had a lot of things going. Had some local work here recently that I've had to take care of. So, that's basically been the situation up this way. Well, as Kathy said, this evening we're going to talk about mobile devices and how they interface with our wonderful hobby of amateur radio. And before we get things started this evening, I just wanted to pass it over to Gary and say good evening to him as well. KC2RMO, good evening to you, sir, and hopefully everything is well up in your neck of the woods.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. And all is well here. It's been an interesting week. We're a little bit chilly here. We're down, it says 64 on the thermometer, but we've got a 20-mile-an-hour wind or so out there, and it's a little clammy. So, and it's going down to like 40 tonight. So we're putting spring on hold for a little bit. But it's been a good week. We wrapped up our final class at school this week. Everything went well there, and so all in all, everything's going pretty well. I killed myself out in the yard today, but that's okay. But I do want to wish a very happy belated birthday to Kath too. It's been kind of crazy, and I'll be honest. I was an ignoramus. I forgot. I had it written down, but I didn't send her anything. So, A thousand pardons, Kathy, and a very happy birthday. I'm glad to hear it went so well. So, with that, it's going to be a great net tonight. This is super stuff, and interested in hearing about it and participating too. So back to you, Daryl. This is KC2RMO. Back to the net.
Okay, QSO. Excellent stuff. Yeah, it's been nice up here as well. Not quite as warm as what you guys down in the States have been getting as always, but temperatures up this way. The past couple of days have been around 11 degrees Celsius, which balances out to about 56 Fahrenheit, and we're actually happy to get that. So after the winter we had, granted it wasn't as bad as what we had last year, but anyway, I digress. Anyway, mobile devices. Pretty much the way I wanted to cover it this evening was lead toward more toward the Android operating system, as it covers the majority of our mobile devices. Of course, as well, we have iOS by Apple, and I've made no secrets over the years. I'm not really an Apple operating system lover, just for the reasons that it's restrictive in open source programmers getting a lot of their apps out there on the iOS platform, and unfortunately that definitely doubles over to include the majority of the ham radio community that are programmers. Unfortunately, their licensing restrictions and whatnot are just too stringent in a lot of cases for lower-level operators that just want to develop a simple app, because after all, when it comes to this ham radio stuff, you know, simplicity sometimes is king when it comes to some of the tasks that we perform on a regular basis. Just let me drop it for a quick second here. Okay, I guess the first thing that I really wanted to cover this evening is the difference between said operating systems. I already covered the first one, really. It's the ability to get apps licensed to run on particular devices. So I wanted to get into first covering one that is near and dear to my heart. I use it all the time. It's basically derived from one of the ham radio terms we use all the time, and that, of course, would be QRZ. And as everyone probably knows, there's a website called QRZ.com in which you can, log contacts and look up contacts primarily that you hear on the air or, stations you've spoken to. You want to get a bit more information on them. Well, there's also an app that's available for the Android platform. Now, Android is a very commonly used operating system that works on the majority of our smartphones and tablets. Keeping Windows aside, Windows is a completely different entity altogether. But when it comes to Android, it's a really great interface that allows you to basically just with a screen, without the assistance of any keyboard or mouse type of interface. It uses a touchscreen, primarily driven environment, and allows you to run literally hundreds of thousands of apps that will allow your device to perform functions that it wasn't able to when it came from the store. The first one of these is a version of the QRZ app that's available. I'm not sure, again, a lot of these this evening, I'm really not sure if they double over into iPhone. If you happen to own an iPhone or an iPad, check out your various app stores. I mean, the apps may be available. I know a couple of these will cross over. The main brunt of them, I'm not sure. But the first app, if anybody's running any Android devices this evening and just want to take a second to go to your app store and type QRZ at the search field in your Google Play Store for sure, you'll find an app called QRZ Droid, which is a fantastic app installed on your tablet or smartphone. It gives you the ability to instantly, without the need of going into a website, without the need of logging in, all of those types of things, to get information, on contacts that you're speaking to, of course. I just typed Gary's into QRZ there, and it comes up with his name, his address. He's a DXCC code for the United States. Comes up with the city, grid location, latitude, longitude, how many views he's gotten looked up on QRZ, and 1881, a good palindrome there for for Gary's lookups. And then it also gives you the ability to link to the QRZ website to log your contacts or whatever you want to do. Yeah, so it's a great little app, and like I was saying, it takes a lot of the tedious work of pulling up a browser, logging in, all of that, and puts the information right at your fingertips. It's a great little app, you know, for performing those particular tasks. I don't know if you gave it a look over or not, did you, Gary, or if anybody else wants to jump in and ask any little brief little questions about this one there before we move on this evening. VO1UKZ, over to you, Gary, and I'll leave it to you to call for any questions on that particular topic.
All right, thanks, Daryl. You know, I did use that. I right now, I'm sure you heard my tale of woe with my FTDX 1200 being in California and me being in New York. So, but there was a time really when I had that, and I would put my my phone next to the transceiver. And it was very handy for that because the way I have my station configured is that I basically do the rig control off of a laptop, and it's nice to have that little auxiliary right there so I can do the things like looking up call letters and stuff like that, and I would use the QRZ app for that. So very, very handy, you know, and I happen to have a really large phone. It's more like a phablet. It's a Samsung Galaxy Mega, and so it's like about a 6-inch screen. So I mean, you get a lot of information on that too. So it's pretty nice to have that along with you. And again, just one of the about 10 zillion Android apps that are just perfect for ham radio. And I know Daryl's going to be getting more and more into it. I have an iPad. I don't use it for operating in the station. I do use it as a Echo Link backup. However, I have Echo Link on that as well, so you know I can always fall back on either my phone or the iPad for that. So, but yeah, definitely QRZ is a great app to start with, and if you're not familiar with it. Definitely, you know, go to the Google Play Store, download that thing, put it on your phone. It's extremely useful. As Daryl was saying, why don't we throw it out right now for some check-ins and comments and what have you. We are talking about different apps, different applications, different OSs, the whole nine yards as we do our tin tonight. So let's do some check-ins right now. I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
KC2RMO, Kilo Charlie 9, Yankee Zulu Romeo.
Well, we had Yankee Zulu Romeo in there. Anybody else?
Victor X-Ray Papa.
All right, we had a couple to get things going. So YZR, come on in.
Okay, Gary, KC2RMO, Bernard, however you want to pronounce my name, Bernie from Metro Wisconsin here, using IRLP. This is Kilo Charlie 9, Yankee Romeo, Echo 2196, I guess you could consider it in this configuration, using the Irma or Merrill, Wisconsin repeater to get in. I could not pay for my internet bill, so I've been off my own system for some time now. Just thought I'd say hello to you, Gary, and Darren, and a happy belated happy birthday there to Kathy and everyone else out there. So just thought I'd let you know that I was out here, since you're probably only going to see, well, if you're not on IRLP, or you can't see it anyway, you'd only see the Mel Wisconsin repeater. You wouldn't see my call sign or anything anywhere. So usually I come in via the echoing system, but can't come in that way because I'm not set up anymore at home. So back to you, Gary, KC2RMO, KC9YZR.
Hey, Bernie, great to hear from you. Glad to know you're still out there. Audio sounds good coming through the repeater, so definitely great to have you aboard tonight, and hope you'll be able to stay with us a little bit longer, too. Thanks again for checking in. We'll move it along to VXP and go out to Ohio and my buddy Rick. Come on in, please.
Very good. N1VXP, Rick in Chillicothe, Ohio. Well, as soon as I got my tablet, I started looking around the store trying to find good apps to actually download, and I came across QRZNOW.com. Quite an informative app. When I do have the tablet out on Wi-Fi, I always check up on it because there's so much information on that particular site that it's quite informative and quite interesting. So I definitely plan on using that quite a bit, you know, when I have my Wi-Fi set up with the tablet. And I tell you, you get more information out of there that you could find elsewhere. But as far as ham related, definitely a really good site. And 1VXP, back to Net Control.
Hey, Rick, I just called that up while you were talking about it, and great site. You're right, ton of information on that. And I think I've been there before. It does look familiar, but wow, some super stuff on that. So and as they say, there's an app for that. So I'll probably be putting that on the Galaxy, as they say. So but thanks for checking in. Hope we hear from you some more. Let's throw it back to Daryl. Are you, sir, familiar with QRZ now?
I just did the same as you, Gary, and typed it in as Rick was mentioning it there. It's not something that I've ever used, but it is something that I'm going to look into. I guess you can access the website probably for free, but what I typed it into was my Google Play app here on the Android tablet, and it came up. There was an app for that, for QRZ Now. It says QRZ Now Ham Radio Premium, and there is, with the word premium, of course, a charge goes along with that, I think, of $4.99, if I'm not mistaken. I did close it off and put up the next app here that I'm going to talk about that integrates ham radio and tablets and smartphones together. But, yeah, that looks interesting. I haven't tried it out myself, but I definitely will. Always love a new app. I've actually got, I think, 164 different ones installed between my phone and my tablet, so it's something that I'm into quite a bit, and that's why I figured, like you say, this would be at least a decent topic for the TIN this evening to cover some of these things, you know, that we could do, you know, previously and still can do a lot of these with other equipment. But being as that we most carry, you know, at least a smartphone in our pocket this day and age, I mean, I especially carry a tablet everywhere I go as well, and then a digital radio on top of it. So, you know, just to go for a walk, I've got more equipment weighing me down than a lot of people keep on their desk. But that's just me, I suppose. I've always been relatively tech-minded. And speaking, you know, of going out for a walk, I guess that can be a little segue into the next one that I'm going to talk about here. And that's APRS. For anybody that is familiar with it, this will be just a trip down memory lane. But the Amateur Radio Positioning System, I believe it is, APRS. I'm not really up on my acronyms totally, but that at least describes what it does. Formerly, the only way to take advantage of this fantastic amateur radio positioning system was through some RF equipment, and oftentimes a lot of it was extremely expensive, you know, to put in your vehicle when you're out going about and whatnot. And then, of course, in addition to the terminal in your vehicle and the GPS radio connected to your transceiver and, you know, the little paneling, if you want it to do the two-way amateur radio messaging back and forth that APRS provides, you'd need a lot of equipment, you know, not just that in the vehicle, but then, of course, you'd need digipeaters in your area. And those are just repeaters that pick up on that APRS GPS positioning information and forward it from repeater to repeater throughout the system. And then, of course, you'd need an iGate in your area as well, which was connected to the Internet to report your position out to various mapping software.
Did we lose Daryl?
Yeah, he'll be back shortly. He timed out, Gary.
If messages come in on the text box, as in the last time we did the TIN, myself and you the last time as well, Gary, can you monitor that, or are you using a smartphone yourself, because when those tones come off, I can't check it until I stop transmitting. So if you could keep an eye on that, and when I hear the tones, I'll take a pause afterwards for the cause there, so you can go ahead and pick up any questions that are coming through in the text box. Before I go ahead and continue about the app replacement for all of that HF and expensive RF equipment, I should say, I'll just pass it back to you, Gary, real quick, and see if there is a question in the text box. I see question Gary in caps, so go ahead and pick up that question. KC2RMO, BO1UKZ.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. Yeah, you. I didn't hear you. You dropped out before you said a pause there, so I kind of thought we might have lost you, but things are going okay, so that's just fine. I did want to mention you APRS. How cool is that? The first ham app I put on my phone was an APRS app. I looked at that and said, you know, wow, you can do APRS with that, you know, and I was just thrilled. So I carried it around and I traced my route, you know, from where I went the day, you know, and doing all kinds of geeky things like that. And I was having a ball with it. So it's pretty cool. But one of the things, and I'm not that familiar with it, so I'm going to throw it back to Daryl after we pick up a question from Gordon from KY6V. But I did want to ask a question about APRS messaging. Apparently, APRS has the ability to do messaging, and I was kind of surprised to see that. So maybe Daryl can shed some light on that. But before we go to that, let's go to KY6V because Gordon had a question. So Gordon, come on aboard.
Okay. Thanks, Gary, and thank you, Daryl. KY6V here. Well, now I've got two questions, because when you get into APRS, I'd like a little better understanding than I have at the moment about the directness. You know, APRS, when it first came out for ham radio, was digipedia-based. Signals were relayed along to the home node, if you will, and then published on the Internet. I understand now they've got something that's direct, probably internet coupled. So you might mention that when you get a chance, Daryl. My original question is the cost of the apps, and I think you touched on it. I think what I've heard, some or a good quantity of apps are free. You just pick them up, download them, and put them in your Android. But some cost you, I think you said $4.99. $5 is the figure that I heard. Is that generally the way that it runs, Daryl? Back to you from KY6V, over.
Yeah, QSL, Gordon, like you say, back to the old adage, hams are cheap, right? Or we're supposed to be, anyhow. So, most of the ones I've picked, most of the ones I've used, a lot of the hams I communicate with are tech-minded. So I've gotten a few good referrals on a few of these, and they're just really great apps. But yeah, the majority of them are free, and the ones that are not, I'll indicate that there is a nominal fee for them. And some of them, of course, have pro versions. I'll just explain the basics, and when you check them out, if they have a pro version, if you like the free version. Oftentimes the paid versions have more in-depth feature lists and things like that, and there's full descriptions of features in premium apps versus the free versions and things like that readily available on the Google Play Store. And it's a great entity. It really is Google Play, because it gives you the ability to read reviews from other users that have tried the app, liked it, hated it, all of those types of things, and there's a five-star rating system in play as well. So like you say, the community as a whole are usually pretty good for reviewing what they take the time to download and install. And these things are very small little apps. I mean, it's not like you've got to download a 500 megabyte Windows application. These things are usually between 20 megabytes and up to 100 sometimes, but they're relatively small. In regard to the APRS stuff, I use it myself. Now I use a different variant. And I'm actually just keying my other radio here a couple of times, because when I get to talking about it, I'm going to mention the website for APRS as well. And I transmit APRS data myself onto the APRS system from my D-Star radio, which doesn't require all the equipment that I did mention. I'll touch on that again briefly at the end of this this segment about the D-Star stuff and how it reports your position and how that's different from the way the old analog way of doing it, because of course it is an analog type system. The you know, when it originally started, I guess it's digital, but it was being used on analog transceivers would be the best way to put it. So it was transmitting, it would transmit digital bursts from the equipment setup I mentioned in your vehicle. You get your radio, then you get your GPS interface that connects to a GPS antenna. So it's actually receiving your position from actual GPS satellites and not from the internet. So that's a device you've got to connect to your transceiver. Then in regard to the text messaging stuff, Gary, this is really cool. You can actually get a touch screen that hooks up to some of the Kenwood rigs, I believe. And it gives you a touchscreen keyboard, or you can connect an external keyboard, if I'm not mistaken, to some of the different head units. And
I don't know if we lost you again, Daryl, or what?
Yeah, it's a timeout. We're going to have to give him the Purple Crystal Award tonight, Gary.
Yeah, I've got it handy. I've got it right here on my shelf. Daryl will be back in any second now. Let's see if he's there. Daryl, are you with us? No, nothing yet. So we will stand by, and let me just tell you a little APRS stuff that I had fooled around with. I remember what Daryl was describing initially was that whole the original APRS setup, and I that was my first exposure to it. I saw a bunch of guys. This was a while ago. Gosh, maybe. 8 years ago, 7-8 years ago, I would say, they were using some really old equipment, really old PCs, and it kind of looked like Doc Brown's workshop, you know. And they were tracking off of that, and I'm like, wow, that's very cool stuff. And they were explaining what went into it, and it was kind of like Doc Brown's workshop. I'm like, holy cow, yeah! But it was neat. It was really neat that they could do that. What I find remarkable about it is that now, you know, you had that boatload of equipment and all that complexity that you had to deal with, and you can just reduce that to the palm of your hand, and that's quite amazing. So let's see if Daryl's back with us. Are you there, sir?
Yeah, QSL, Gary. I'm used to D-Star, man. I've got to really stop being so long-winded on these this Echolink system here, because it really doesn't give you a whole lot of time before it times out. I guess you get 3 minutes, and definitely a little more long-winded than 3 minutes sometimes. How much of what I said last did you get? What was my ending pre-timeout statement?
This is KC2 RMO. We were just getting to the description of messaging and how some manufacturers' units have the ability to accept input from a keyboard or touchscreen, and that's kind of where we left things off.
Oh, fantastic. Didn't lose very much at all then before I noticed the tones saying I was doubling. So, anyhow, some units, I believe, some of the Kenwood TS something or others allow the ability for a screen to be connected to them. I was just saying, if you want to go to the website now for anybody that's listening, just check this out because it's pretty cool. I'm transmitting right now APRS data through D-Star, through DPRS, Digital Radio Positioning System or whatever. Same thing, reports to the same website as APRS, all of that. But instead of needing that big elaborate setup, I transmit it through D-Star primarily. So if you look my call sign up on the website, APRS.fi, like Amateur Radio Positioning Service, .foxindia, you'll see the website. Toward the right, toward the top, toward the right, you'll get a little search box. Just type my call sign there, Victor Oscar 1, Uniform Kilo Zulu, VO1 UKZ, and you'll see my position as transmitted just a couple of seconds ago, and you'll see exactly where I'm located and all of that stuff. So that makes it easy for us hams to track each other. Let me drop it here for a second, and then I'll talk about the replacement
for all of that equipment that you can carry around in your pocket. VO1UKZ. Okay, as Gary said before, bet there's an app for that, and there definitely is. If you go to your Google Play Store once again, it may be available on iOS devices as well. Again, if you have an Apple device, check it out, see if it is available. If it is, you're definitely in for a treat. What this app allows you to do, when you open it up, you'll see a configuration button, and you just click Configure. And then it'll ask you for some simple information. It'll ask you for your call sign. It'll ask you for your APRS-IS passcode. That's something that you need, would normally, if you're doing it through a radio, have set up in your transmitting radio terminal to know that it's sending the right data for the right call sign to the right place from the right radio. So you also need to incorporate that into your app. There's information on the APRS website on how to get one of those codes. Once you get it configured, what it basically does, it takes the built-in GPS, and all of these new smartphones and tablets have their own built-in GPS radio. You're not going to be needing data service to pull GPS positioning from the internet. It's going to pull your position right from the GPS satellites. Then the app actually interprets that data. And this part you do need an internet connection for if you want your position to be posted online to the APRS website. You will need an internet connection for that aspect of it on your phone or tablet, but it uses very, very, very little data. It's only transmitting very, very small data packet bursts containing your call sign and your position, and it also gives you the ability to type in a short transmit message as well, hello from your location or something to that effect, or your name or whatever you want to put in there. Just let me drop it for a second. Yeah, so basically, it gives you some of the primary functions of the full APRS setup that would formerly have to be contained in RF equipment inside your vehicle, or definitely not on your person. There are solutions you can do for personal ham radio tracking as well through there's really tiny devices. I can't remember anyhow, but we're talking about the app right now anyway. So once you get this thing running, what you want to do with it, you want to click Start Beaconing. So that will start just throwing out your position, obtaining it from the GPS radio built into your device, and throwing your position out to APRS.fi. So should anyone have one of those elaborate RF setups in their vehicle, or anyone else that's connected to the APRS.fi website, or any other users of the app as well, can find your position, send you messages back and forth, text messages from your phone. I know it kind of sounds silly and redundant, since we can send texts from phone to phone anyhow, but as ham radio operators, we always like to do it the radio way if possible. So this app gives you the ability to communicate with the stations using APRS through RF, through other stations using the app, or through stations that want to monitor to you through the APRS website. So it's a cool way for hams to track each other, and APRS is also used, of course, for balloon tracking and various other things. So the app can be used for that as well. So it gives you the ability to operate as if your tablet was an iGate and sending the information direct out about your position. So with that, I am going to touch on a couple of more just quick GPS or apps that take advantage of the GPS in your devices. But before I do that, I will take a pause for the cause and see if there are any check-ins. VO1UKZ.
6, Victor.
And KC2RMO, I'm going to throw a comment in there, too.
All right. Go ahead and pick it up, Gordon. 6, Victor, to take it. VO1UKZ with South Cars.
Yeah, I've got a question a little bit out of the discussion here. I just pulled up you on the APRS charting map. And I find that you've got Highway 1 running right close to St. John's. Is that the same Highway 1 that comes clear down as far as Key West? Over.
No, negative, not the same Highway 1 at all. That would be probably Interstate 1 in the States. But here in Canada, we have, we have other highways, that branch off like the States does. But Route 1 in Canada, runs from what's referred to as mile one, which is here, mile one of the country, which is being, as we're so far east, that's here in St. John's, here in Newfoundland. So the Trans-Canada starts there, and it ends out in British Columbia on the complete west coast of the country. So that's the continuous cross-country highway, if you will, here in Canada. So starts in the east, ends in the west. Back to you, Gordon, and then you can toss it over to Gary for his comment. VO1UKZ.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. This is KC2RMO. And, yeah, you know, I was doing the same thing that Gordon did. I pulled you up on the APRS site. And if anybody listening does this, it's just so cool. I mean, you can see Daryl right there. We've got his latitude, his longitude. He's not far from Pippi Park. I love the name of that. not sure what the deal is with Pippi Park, but it's got a great name. But here's his information. It's right there. I mean, what a beautiful way to track something. And again, that's just one component of what you can do with the APRS. So very, very cool stuff. When I loaded it on my phone, and I would track myself around town. You know, if I was running errands or something like that, I'd have this this little history of where I've been, you know, which I thought was great. But just a very, very cool thing, and certainly you can imagine the uses you could put that to. So awesome stuff. And a lot of information. So yeah, I would definitely, if you haven't pulled them up, give that a try, because you'll get a real good feel for that. We'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Yeah, QSL, Gary. Yeah, it is pretty cool. And like you say, I mentioned the old elaborate RF requirements for APRS. Then I mentioned the app. I also mentioned that my position actually is being transmitted through D-Star. And when you check my position, it actually says as reported through D-Star. So the difference in that particular case is it the radio D-Star radios themselves, in a lot of cases, have a built-in GPS in them now, in the transceiver, in the handhelds even. All the handhelds now have GPS. And that's what I'm using, an IC92 handheld analog/D-Star handheld, and it has a GPS microphone attached to it. So when I key up that radio to have a voice conversation, my GPS information is sent directly along through the APRS system simultaneous with my voice as a header packet. So when you key up on D-Star, your call sign is transmitted to all other listening radios. So, you know, it comes right up on the screen of the radios, no computer required kind of thing, so you know who you're talking to without needing the voice ID. But then you get their GPS coordinates as well will come right up on the screen of your radio, and it will indicate how far that operator is from you. So that's another cool way to do APRS, and all you need is either a D-Star hotspot, a D-Star repeater, or, you know, one or the other, and a D-Star radio outfitted with a GPS, and that'll allow you to do the APRS simultaneous with voice. So that's really cool. Before I move on to the next little app I want to cover, and a lot of you may be familiar with this next one coming up here, but just wanted to talk briefly in regard to GPS and mobile devices, because there's a lot of cool stuff you can do for free with these mobile devices. Now, this gets away from the amateur radio aspect of it rather briefly, but kind of ties in with the APRS stuff and tracking. Just let me drop it for a second. Okay, that should have been enough time to time out the various repeaters, or to reset the various repeaters, I should say. There is another app that I would highly recommend anybody having a smartphone or a tablet. Run an Android. Actually, there's two of them that I'd recommend. One is for your own personal GPS navigation. I'll just mention it quickly. I won't really delve into everything it's capable of, because there is a lot, and it's free. It does have a premium version, but the app is called Be On Road. Three separate words, B-E space O-N space R-O-A-D. And I know it's out for iPhone as well as Android devices. What this one basically is, it turns your smartphone or your tablet into a fully data-independent GPS, like your Garmin's or your, you know, your real expensive ones. If you go out and pay $500 just for a GPS, well, this app will enable your tablet to pretty much blow any of those out of the water for absolutely free. You install the app on your system. You download the maps for your area. So whichever state you are in or any other states that you visit on a regular basis, just select those during the setup process. Make sure they've got download symbols after them before you proceed through the setup process. Then you download your language packs. The good thing about this one, you do it from home on your tablet or your smartphone while you're connected to Wi-Fi. So all of those big maps, those big, nice size map files are fully downloaded to your tablet. So when you're out and about, there's no need for any data on your device at all. So if you're using a tablet that only works with Wi-Fi, this is the real thing. It puts all your maps on your device. It pulls your GPS position from the built-in GPS radio, so it's not using any data while you're out and about whatsoever, and it fully, you know, all the particular points of interest, you know, gas stations, restaurants, convenience stores, parking lots, all of those things are included in the app for offline viewing, as well as voice-guided navigation. It does that as well, so... Beyond Road is that app, and just let me drop it again here for a quick second. Okay, so definitely check that one out. It's really interesting, and if anybody's wondering, the try-to-free version, it's feature-packed. The paid version is definitely worth it. The stuff that it does is just incredible. There's, you know, standalone GPS units that don't even compare to this app, so definitely check that one out. And just briefly, before I take a pause for some more check-ins here and any questions that may be out there or whatever in regard to GPS and ham radio or GPS in general through these mobile devices, there's one more app, and it is an absolute essential, and that's actually the name of it as well, GPS Essentials, Essentials with an S, plural. You download that from your App Store. Not sure if it's available for iOS, but definitely is for Android. And it is a smorgasbord of GPS-related tools. Turns your tablet or smartphone into a compass, a mapping system. It enables you, if you're going into the woods to do hiking or anything like that, to track, you know, create a path as you go in so you can turn around and come right back out the same way kind of thing. It allows you to take pictures and incorporate GPS data right on the screen as if you were looking out, like, through... an altimeter or something to that effect. It does a ton of different stuff. All I can say is download it and play with it. A lot of different tools in there that people will definitely enjoy. It's one that I run myself and couldn't really live without it when it comes to, you know, a GPS. And the thing is, these apps are free. You know, they take advantage of the hardware we already have in our mobile devices. So it's just as well to grab them, try them out. If it's not something you like, it doesn't take up much space anyway, and you never know. You just may find yourself in a jam one of these days. And with amateur radio and keeping with emergency response and all, you know, in a rescue type situation, this GPS Essentials app would definitely be the hero of the day for sure. You know, when you know you got a handheld in one hand, a full functioning GPS toolbox in your other hand, so it's definitely a good tool. All right, we'll take a pause again, see if there are any check-ins, and if you've got anything to add, Gary, this would definitely be the time. VO1UKZ.
It's KC2RMO while Daryl's taking a pause for the cause, and GPS Essentials. I'm gonna download that and try that out this weekend as we head for the Rochester Air Show, so we'll see how well that works. We'll give it a little field test. That's my 2 cents worth. We're going for check-ins right now. Any comments or check-ins on the TIN? I'm KC2RMO, and this is South Cars.
November 9, Oscar Foxtrot uniform.
We have OFU. Anybody else want to join in? Nothing heard. Let's go ahead with OFU. Come on in, please. Not sure what we were getting there, but let's give it one more opportunity. OFU, if you're there, come on in, please.
Yes, indeed I am, and I also heard that. I don't know what it is. I'm not by a computer, but heard Daryl talking, VO1UKZ, and about the apps and stuff. I'm not a smartphone pecker, whatever. But what I would like to see for a smartphone application is, you know, when you can't find your phone, I need an app for that. Go ahead.
That's worth $1 million. I'll bet there is one. I know. For instance, you know, there are apps that will locate your phone if it's stolen. You know, obviously you have to have another phone, you know, to locate it with. So I suppose you could use something like that. But I wonder if there's something that interfaces with your computer, you know, that reports that. Well, APRS would do it, but let's see if Daryl knows something more about that. Daryl, is there anything that you know of that'll help you find the thing? Because I need to know this myself.
Oh, absolutely. There sure is. Actually built right into the core of both mainstream operating systems now, whether you're using an Apple device with its iOS installed on it, or if you're using an Android-powered device, your various smartphones and tablets, they all have a Find My Device function built into the core of the operating system. Find My Droid is the one Google builds in with Android. I've used it a number of times. It gives you several different features, actually, for free. There's no charge just by being an Android or... I know for Android there's no charge. I'm not going to say about the .me account with your iPhones and iPads. Maybe someone else can attest to that one. But I know with Android, Find My Droid, you just Google that. You need to set it up. You go into your settings and just set it up on your Android-powered device. And what it does, it uses that built-in GPS radio once again. Unfortunately, in order to transmit the position back to you, it needs an internet connection. So if it's, you know, someone steals your phone and then, you know, hits the maybe 15% of the United States that doesn't have internet access and turns it on, well, you're kind of out of luck. But if it gets turned on or powered on before they wipe it, in a, you know, in a situation, you know, where you leave it on a bus or in a coffee shop and there's data access, you can find it quite easily with that. And if you're worried about people, you know, getting access to those photos and videos and things, the Find My Droid function also gives you the ability to remotely lock your device if it's not already locked and password protected. It also gives you the ability to make it scream when you get near it. So if you knock on the door because the map says it's inside the house and they say, oh no, we don't have your device in here, you can make it scream, and it's about 120 decibels, so you're going to hear it from outside. And you can say, well, that's my phone inside your house, they're throwing a fit, so either get it or we'll dispatch the appropriate authorities. That one answer your question, Paul, N9OFU, VO1UKZ with South Coast.
Thank you, Daryl, and that control there. That was an excellent answer. And I'm not worried about my device being stolen or anything like that. I'm my worst culprit, you know, as far as that goes. It's like, where's my phone? Then I got to go to the home phone, call the cell phone, and then try to find it. But I figured there was something like there, so like that. So good deal. Appreciate all that info. This is November 9, Oscar Foxtrot Uniform, Lubbock, Texas.
Yeah, QSL, Paul. Thanks very much for joining us this evening. And the station I saw key up in between Paul's last, we'll go ahead and we'll call Tom in. If you want to jump in here and say something, Tom, we did see a key up from you. KC2THO VO1UKZ with South Cars. Go ahead. Okay, I thought it was Tom that keyed up. I did see his call sign there briefly, but that's it. All right, before we move on to one that we're probably all familiar with, but some folks out there that are using it on computers and all probably may not be familiar with the Echolink mobile app. For smartphones and tablets, Androids, iPhones, all of those types of things. Before I move into talking about the features and all of that one for a little bit, pass back to you, Gary, see if you have anything, and maybe check, see if there's any more people want to jump in here before we move along. VO1UKZ.
Hey, thank you, Daryl. And, yeah, well, that's KC2RMO. You know, you just gave me a. I've been keeping note. I hope everybody's writing this stuff down because there's just a wealth of great stuff that we're covering tonight. The Find My Droid is great for me. You know what? We got rid of the house phone. We're just using our cell phones now, and I can lose myself. Much less a phone, you know. So what I'll do is I'll leave it, and I don't know where it is, and so I'll maybe a couple of times a week go to my Google phone and call my cell phone so I can find it. You know, it's like so. This is great. I'm gonna be downloading this too. Some good stuff. But yeah, I do hope you're writing it down because there is just some stuff that's getting covered tonight. And maybe what we might want to do too, Daryl, would be to get a list of some of these programs and get them up on the website. That might be really helpful too to people, because we're covering a lot of ground. But as we continue here on the TIN, let us see if there are any further check-ins. Anybody want to come aboard right now? I'm KC2RMO. This is South Cars.
Victor X-ray Papa recheck.
Well, we've got Rick, so Rick, come on aboard.
Yeah, I just thought I'd bring out the attention that this was long before smartphones and iPhones came out. As far as APRS or GPS, this goes back probably a good, I've got to say maybe 10 years ago. I had the opportunity to do public service communications for the Hartford Marathon, and several of the hams said, hey, you know, why can't we keep track of the starting and finishing and maybe the middle of the marathon runners where they're located on the route? So they designed the little APRS or GPS transmitter to set up sending out via the simplex 2-meter signal so that they could track it. Let me draw for a second. You know, they could track it at the command post where they're located on the course. And that got to be quite a little setup. One of the guys designed the computer portion. The other guy came up with the interface and with the mobile setup as far as the I think they ended up using, if I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure it was a handheld radio with a mobile antenna rig up on a bike. And they were riding around on the 10-speed bikes, and one was actually set up on a motorcycle, and it was quite a setup, and kind of enjoyed the idea of, hey, you know, we were probably the beginnings of doing that kind of a setup, but enjoyed the way it worked out. It really benefited the people for knowing just where everybody was, and worked out quite well. N1GX feedback to net control.
Hey, thank you, Rick. Yeah, it's amazing. It really is. And you go back 10 years, and what we had then compared to how we're doing things now, and it really kind of like, wow, you know. It worked, right? You know, and you got the job done, so it's pretty cool. Yeah, that was. It's always cool when you can break some new ground like that. Very, very, very good. Hope you're going to be sticking around for a while too as we go into hour number two. Anybody else want to check in as we continue the TIN? Nope, no brave souls at this point, so we'll go back to net. Daryl, it's all yours.
Thank you very much, Gary. Things seem to be flowing along quite well here so far this evening. Like you say, I've still got a few more things to cover here. HF communication type of outfit when it comes to smartphones and tablets. We've got I'm going to touch on Raspberry Pis briefly coming up, so if anybody has any questions about those things or any of this other stuff that we've covered so far here this evening, definitely a little bit of Q&A would definitely keep things going. Because looking at the list here, maybe I don't have as much content as what I had originally thought to push this thing to the full 2 hours, but who knows? I guess we shall see. All right, moving right along. Here's one now that I'd say about, I don't know, at least 50 to 70% of us got to be familiar with. I see just from the list here alone, there's a few people using mobile devices for the mode we're using here this evening, being Echolink. So the Echolink mobile app, I guess, would be a good one to touch on next. A lot of people, of course, are running it, Echolink through their repeaters or, you know, or through their own simplex nodes or something to that effect, or running it on desktop PCs has been quite common. You know, since I've got into ham radio anyhow, back in 2005, 2006, it was quite popular running it on PCs just to directly communicate. And, of course, you know, for those that are not familiar with the software in general, I'll just give a little bit of background here just for FYI purposes. Echolink is a voice-over IP type software that provides internet-based linking to repeaters, simplex users, and PC and mobile users all over the planet. Of course, you do need an amateur radio call sign, and there is a short verification process required to get yourself and your call sign registered on the Echolink system if you want to run your own node or standalone setup. But after you've got all of that completed, you can run it on your PC as just a regular user. You can set up a simplex node interfacing a radio with a computer, and then, of course, you can take it a step further, tuning said radio to a repeater frequency and adding Echolink and voice over IP communication directly to a repeater via DTMF tones for linking and unlinking directly from the handset via handheld or a mobile setup. So that's just a bit of background on the Echolink software. But in regard to running it as a mobile user, definitely provides a lot of benefits. Let me drop it here for a brief one. When you run the Echolink app, and I do know for sure this is available for both platforms in common use today, being iOS and Android, the app installed on a smartphone or tablet gives you the ability to use your registered call sign through the Echolink system on your smartphone or tablet. So this, of course, would give you the ability, if you have a data plan on your cell phone or your tablet, to pretty much access thousands of repeaters and thousands of nodes all over the world right from your smartphone. And that's how I'm actually doing the net here this evening, is through a Motorola smartphone. And like you say, these devices I find provide extremely good audio when operating the Echolink mode, because of course at the end of the day, a smartphone is a two-way voice communication device. You know, lest we forget, you know, just because we've got this big pretty screen that you can run all of these other apps on, but at the end of the day, it is a phone. So the microphones usually put inside of these things are extremely good. So I find mine is better in a lot of cases than using RF or using a laptop to use Echolink. So it definitely does a really good job. It provides a lot of the same features that you get if you're running it on a PC. You can use the two-way text messaging section, but and of course you can search the various repeaters based on country and location and call sign type and node type and all of those types of things in the search aspect of it. So it is a great communications app in that regard. And I guess I've been using it now for maybe 4 years, 5 years, I suppose. It's been out now, so it was one of the early ham radio type apps that were available for mobile platforms, and it was a good one too. I mean, it was just a natural progression to be able to take you know, ham radio basically in your pocket when it originally came out, and I absolutely loved it, because when we had our Echolink locally terminated from the local repeater, it definitely filled the void to be able to take Echolink communication right along in your pocket. Let me drop it for a second. Okay, so that's pretty much all I can say about the Echolink app, I suppose. Well, actually, I'll touch on the connectivity
of it for a second as well, because this may be something that PC users are not familiar with. As a lot of people that have run it on PCs over the years probably know, oftentimes there are ports in your router that need to be forwarded before you're able to connect the stations from your PC. Well, with the mobile app, the necessity to forward ports has been pretty much eliminated. You can still do it if you want to do what's called a direct connection, and you'll find these settings in the settings section of the app by clicking the three little dots, and it pops up a menu and brings down settings. So under connection type, you'll find three different settings there, or four maybe even. I'm not looking at it right now, but one of them is direct, and of course that's like through your cell phone provider or your home Wi-Fi network. It oftentimes direct won't work through your cell phone data plan because, you know, it requires the ports to kind of still be forwarded, and you can't really do that through a cell phone. But there's the public proxy option. If you're not able to get direct working, select public proxy, and it will scan for public proxy servers and automatically select one in most cases. And then there's a relay connectivity option in which it will find relay servers, which have been basically set up for the mobile apps to be able to get a direct connection into the Echolink system through a number of relay servers. So like you say, and of course then there's the there's another option for private proxy. If you have your own proxy server for Echolink set up, you can put in your own login information and allow your device to connect to the Echolink system that way. Other than that, there's not a whole lot really I can say about the Echolink app. So before I move along to a good research tool for ham radio, are there any questions, comments, concerns, any of that about the Echolink mobile app? This is VO1 UKZ with South Coast.
Six, Victor.
Mo, with a comment about that, the Echolink mobile app has, it's pretty good stuff. I am talking to you now through my audio production setup. I patched that through the computer and use that for Echolink here. But the audio quality of the mobile app is surprisingly good. When you listen to me using the phone or the iPad, it really does sound good. You know, so it's right up there with the studio equipment. It's kind of blows your mind, you know, but it's really good. But one of the cool things is that I've done with the Echolink mobile app is the ability to check in from different places. Let me just buy a nickel. I know we've joined nets from the airport in Atlanta, and out in the middle of, past the middle of nowhere, in Pennsylvania. I still don't know how we got out of that, but it allows you to do a lot. It's really pretty cool stuff. So with that, let's continue this. Let's see if anybody would like to check in with their comments, and as we continue the TIN tonight on the South Cars. I'm KC2RMO.
Six, Victor.
Oscar Fox Uniform.
And Victor X-Ray Papa.
Well, there's a good batch. Let's kick it off with Six Victor.
Hey, thanks, Gary. Thanks, Daryl. Question for Daryl. KY6V here. How do you find the Android for easiness of use, particularly for people like yourself that are sight impaired? How do you use the push to talk? Do you try and find the icon on the screen to shift back and forth? Are you using a Bluetooth for PTT? That kind of stuff. Do you find it an annoyance when you have to change pages on the screen? I understand, I think correctly, that if you want to see the total user list, you have to go to a different screen. If you want to go and use the text box I think that's a different screen, too. Daryl, any comments? Over.
Yeah, QSO, yeah, I can definitely speak to that for sure. With myself, like you say, I'm a partially sighted operator, so I just have to look close at the screens. There are several different ways. In keeping with the PTT aspect of it, let's just say, I find it easy because, like you say, I can just touch the particular button on the screen. The main user list is visible in the main window of the app. The text window, you do have to click a different icon, but the user list or connected stations list is always visible except when you're transmitting. When you're transmitting, your entire screen pretty much turns to the icon of what looks to be an older style of broadcast microphone is what appears on your screen. And then you touch that microphone again, and it goes back to standby mode after you're done your transmission. So if you're a 100% blind operator, let's just say, the options that are there, now in keeping with using this with a screen reading software, I'm really not sure because I haven't done it, and I'll probably get questions about this later. But I haven't done it myself, so I'm not sure exactly how well it works with a screen reader. But on your Android device, what you can do, if you have a wired headset, one of these standard ones that ship with most cell phones, you know, it's got a button halfway down the wire containing a microphone as well. If you configure it to use the PTT on your headset, when you connect that type of headset to your smartphone or tablet, and you just tap that PTT and release it, it'll put it into transmit mode. You tap it again, it'll put it back into standby mode again. So I find that that would be a good way to do it. Now, like you say, as far as setting that up goes, the built-in voice output screen reader for Android should be able to navigate you through those menus and get you to select headset PTT and just put a checkbox in front of that, and then it will work whenever that headset is connected. Bluetooth outfits, I'm pretty sure that they work as well, most of them. I have a Motorola one, and that does work with the PTT. When I hit the button on the headset, it will wirelessly put it into transmit mode. So there are a couple of ways to do that. But yeah, like you say, the text mode, while you're transmitting, you can't view the text mode. And another thing I'd say about the Echolink app as well, if you're transmitting and you press the home button to try to navigate to a website, let's say open a separate app, not while you're transmitting, just let me drop it for a second. If you try to switch, let's say, to a browser or another app while you're transmitting, when you do switch back to Echolink in the Task Manager, you will have a very difficult time unkeying. Oftentimes, you have to crash the app in order to get back and stop your station over your smartphone or tablet from transmitting. That is a bug that has been pointed out to the developer by myself and probably some more as well. I'm not sure when or if it's going to be rectified. It would definitely be nice, but it doesn't hinder the use of the app. As long as you're not multitasking while transmitting, it really doesn't hinder the use. Stand by for one. Go ahead and pick up the next station, Gary, VO1UKZ.
All right, thank you, Daryl. And we'll move it along with OFU. Come on aboard.
All right, this is N9OFU in Lubbock, Texas. I'm currently in shallow water, Texas, but I just wanted to add there, Daryl, with the phone apps and using Echolink, since that is the topic, there are issues where people will get the error, no route to host. And that is part of the relay server issues. There's only a certain number of relay servers. And like Gordon, I'm also a conference server owner, and I see it in the logs all the time. But it's basically change the setting. Well, Daryl, I'll let you tell people what to do about that, the no route to host error on Echolink. So I want to put it back to VO1UKZ and 9OFU.
Yeah, QSL Paul, N9OFU in the group here on South Cars. This is VO1UKZ, and net control for this evening's TIN program. We're talking about amateur radio and mobile devices and how the two play together or sometimes don't play together, as the case may be. Yeah, that particular error, I don't get that a whole lot because I just use Direct Connect. But, yeah, there are only so many
servers, so many of those relay servers that can connect, or so many relay server users that can connect to the same conference simultaneously. I think it only allows 5 stations from per relay server to connect. It gets kind of technical, but as Paul said, there is a way to fix that particular error. If you're getting the no route to host error, what you can do is switch over in that settings section, your connection settings in the settings aspect of the Echolink mobile app. You can change it to public proxy, and it'll scan for a public proxy server and hopefully get you on the server that you want to connect to. Now, if you ever have that error in connecting to the South Coast conference, try the Delco Doug conference. That's usually conferenced in here. So if there's no route slots available for relay servers on the South Cars conference and you're using the mobile app, either you can play with that setting, or before you do that, just quickly try to connect over to the Delco Doug conference, and it may let you in that way. So that's an option there
for sure. Okay, we picked up 6 Victor, OFU, and next we're going to call in Rick, N1VXP, to take it. This is VO1UKZ.
This is N1VXP, Rick. Yeah, I have noticed that when I first had my laptop, this is something I noticed that seems to be some of the major problem with the built-in microphones on the laptops. For some uses, they were great, but for Echolink, no. That's why I had to get an external microphone. Actually, I'm running a headset, and playing around with this particular laptop, I didn't realize it had HD sound management card, or sound management program, which definitely, besides the normal receive and transmit audio sound card settings, it actually highlights it even better. Brings it into stereo, and with the audio equalizer set up, which really brings out the tones better. And I like the laptop, but the minute I got the tablet, I immediately downloaded the Echolink and had a couple of little minor adjustments on the audio, but overall it was quite easy. I find that people say that the audio is good. Sometimes I get a little bit too close, not realizing it, but you can overdrive the audio if you're not careful, but really like the audio mic on the laptop, on the tablet, much better. Let me drop 1 second. The only thing I noticed with the tablet Echolink setting, it does say that mention about external mic. However, on this particular tablet, there is no such port for an external mic. That's why you have to be very careful. The programming can say, oh, plug in this and you'll be able to use the PTT button. But in actual fact, not all not all tablets have that capability. All I have is a external headset or earphone jack with no mic connection at all. So that's why I think I always tell people, be careful. You may see it, but you may not be able to do it. N1VXP, back to net control.
Yeah, QSL Rick. Like you say, in keeping with that, actually something you may want to try. Most tablets now this day and age come with a combo jack. That particular one jack would have the microphone ring in it as well. And I'm not saying this is for every single tablet that comes out, but I'd say 95% of them have what's called a headphone/microphone combo jack. And that one hole will serve both functions. With your standard laptops, even laptops actually are starting to use the one combo jack on newer machines now. You'll notice there's no separate microphone jack on a lot of them. And that's actually a good point, Rick, because people would think that they're not able to use microphones on their tablets and smartphones. But there's a couple of different classes of microphone that you have to look for. For the standard PC interface, you'll have a 3.5-millimeter microphone jack and a 3.5-millimeter headphone jack. But on most of these new laptops, Chromebooks as well do this, and Android tablets and smartphones do it as well. They provide a combo jack. So then the type of headset you would have to get for that, is a mobile headset. You can get the over-the-head ones. You can get the throat mics. You can get the little earbud that has the microphone built into it as well. Or you can get the boom style or Bluetooth as well. And hook up an external mic through Bluetooth. That'll work if your tablet or smartphone has a Bluetooth interface, which most of them do. With that, I guess there's probably no other questions. I'll take a quick standby here. If there is, go ahead and key up. But if not, I'm going to move on to the next topic. This is VO1UKZ with South Coast.
It's KC2RMO while Daryl's taking a quick break there. I just wanted to throw in one quick thing. That's available too. I use a USB headset when I use a headset. It's a Microsoft Life Chat that works pretty well. So on particularly on the laptop, that's worked out as a good option for me too. So there's you can get audio into these things any old way you want. It's pretty versatile. So that's my 2 cents. We'll go back to the net. This is KC2RMO.
Yeah, QSL Gary, and thanks very much again for sure. All right, the next one that I'm going to cover is one that I use from time to time when I travel primarily. But if you live in a big city, you know this one can be quite beneficial as well. It's the Repeater Book, which is available on Android and iPhone and all those different types of mobile devices and platforms. And basically, it is what it says it is. You search it, first of all, under Repeater, just Repeater or Repeater Book on Android. I guess it's probably the same on iOS devices as well. But what this one basically does, it uses your built-in GPS that's inside your tablet or smartphone. And if you load up the app, I download the one that's just called Repeater. It has the same icon as the one called Repeater Book. Both are made by the same company. I just noticed better performance on the one that's strictly called Repeater. But what it does, it basically uses your built-in GPS in your device. It doesn't require any data while you're out and about because the listing is completely downloaded over your home Wi-Fi app when you install the application. They do release regular updates as they are made available. The Repeater Book is a cumulative effort by ARRL District coordinators and in Canada, the Radio Amateurs of Canada district and Repeater Book, you know, maintenance people. So it's not an official thing that there's a company doing or anything. It's a cumulative effort from amateur radio operators themselves. And repeaters that have their coordinates and all programmed into the online repeater directories, which they typically do, they're usually pretty good. So if you install this repeater directory or repeater book app on your device and you run it, immediately you'll get a listing of repeaters that are in, let's say I've got some here, VO1 Tango Zulu repeater is 2 miles from me and it's in the east and it's a D-Star repeater. It gives the frequency as 145090. Then I've got VO1 UHF, VO1 Tango Zulu UHF, VO1 AAA, VO1 NTV. So all the common VO1 repeaters on the various different modes, whether or not they're Echolink enabled, you know, what band they're on, all of this information is provided to you along with their frequency and offset direction, all of the pertinent information that you'd need, you know, while you were traveling. Or like you say, in your big city type environment where you want to know, you know, what repeaters do I have available? Are there any 10 meter or 6 meter repeaters in the area? You know, these types of questions. And, I mean, you can go online and you can fumble around and try to find, you know, various repeaters in your area. But what I find with the Repeater Book, it's a very good application. It incorporates many different features together.
I think we may have timed out again. Daryl, are you there?
Oh yeah, QSL, I am indeed. I dropped it actually just at the same time I was timed out. I'm counting a 180-second timer here now is what I've been doing to try to keep this as close to transmission length as what I can. So I don't think you missed anything. I was just saying how it incorporates many different features that are built into your device. If you open the app, I'm not sure if anyone has it installed or are downloading it, but if you open the app and you click on the little menu aspect, which is up in the top right-hand corner, is a little word that says menu, and you click on settings, you'll see a bunch of different things here, checkboxes that you can put in to identify repeaters on different modes, 10 meters, 4 meters, 2 meters, 1 and a quarter meters, 70 centimeters, 23 centimeters, right on up to, I believe, up to 5 gigahertz repeaters. It also identifies IRLP stations, ATV links, APCO P25, multi-mode repeaters, DMR, D-Star, Wires repeaters, Wires X systems, All-Star nodes, all kinds of different things. So if it's been updated by the repeater keepers and repeater owners, if their local machines are put into this directory, you will be able to find them as you travel to different areas with your built-in GPS. And as I said, it downloads the entire directory to your device within the app. So there's absolutely no need to use any data, or, you know, you could be in a really remote area, for instance, where there's no data, and you'll definitely get a GPS connection. So it'll use your built-in GPS. It'll pull the repeaters that are closest to you and give you the closest ones at the top of the list and start to spread out to the more distant ones as you scroll down. But I find it a very, very convenient and handy little utility to use, you know, especially on a phone. I mean, you know, if you're broke down, for instance, you're driving across country, your car breaks down, you've got no cell phone service, but you do have the ham radio, but you don't know for the life of you, you know, what repeaters are in this area, you know, or are there even people living in this area? So chances are you'll be able to find a good repeater, maybe get yourself out of a jam, or, you know, just have that QSL while you're waiting on the wife to come out from picking up groceries or something, you know. You might find a repeater you didn't know about, or, you know, or a ham or a friend you haven't spoken to yet. So that's definitely a good app. Any questions about that one, any comments, concerns, general check-ins? This is VO1 UKZ with South Cars. Okay. I guess there's no questions. That one is a pretty straightforward one anyhow. So I guess we'll move right along to another application that I wanted to speak about here. We're up on the 5 minutes away from the hour and a half mark, which is really not too bad. I guess I had pretty much enough content put together for this program after all. Okay, let's see. Next on the list that I wanted to talk about here is a really cool little app, and it incorporates a lot of different aspects of amateur radio, I guess, in the technological age in general. The app is called Ham Pocket, or Pocket RXTX. You can find it any way you want with those two particular terms. Pretty much what this app is, it turns, this is an exciting one because there's a lot of playing you can really do with this one. And for those of us that got our start in shortwave listening over the years or anything to that effect, it really comes in handy for that type of thing. What Ham Pocket or Pocket RXTX allows you to do is remotely control many HF receivers and transceivers over the internet from your device. A lot of the new equipment coming out this day and age, both in receivers and full, transmit-receive transceivers, have the ability to connect them to the internet, and using different SDR or software-defined radio options can be controlled by yourself or open to the public to be controlled on a receive basis over the internet using this app. When you open it, you'll find that it looks pretty much like a standard HF transceiver. It turns your tablet into a full touchscreen HF radio. It gives you all of the common features, you know, your various noise blankers and notch filters and functions. There's even a PTT button if you're going to control your own transceiver using this app, or if you're a licensed amateur radio operator and you subscribe to the premium version, or Web SDR, I think it's called. You can Google that, Web SDR, like software defined radio, and you can really get in. You can have a play, and there's several different Ham radio call sign, several different areas and transceivers you can look for in this app. And you can go right down. I mean, the bands are all there, everything from, you know, 160 meters right on up to 1.2 gigs in some cases. And you can spin the VFO and try different filters and, you know, different modes, upper and lower sideband, CW, all of this type of stuff. All I can say is there's a lot of features in here, a lot of different things. Just basically all I can say about this app is get in there, try it, play with it, read up about it. It's definitely, you know, something that I've had a lot of fun over the last year playing with from time to time. And basically you can, just let me drop it for a second. And basically you can control these, you know, big, nice big expensive HF rigs with beam antennas on them and all the rest, as if you're actually sitting in front of the rig in a lot of cases. And then it it goes on in its help section talking about SDR radio and how it works and how you can, you know, get little software-defined receivers set up yourself to contribute to the system. It's just a great asset. And like others, it does have a fully functioning free version, but it does allow for some paid options as well if you're a premium member. So this is definitely something to look at. But even in its free state, it's a great app for listening. You know, you can listen to signals as if you were in that part of the world, you know, running a receiver connected to their antenna system. So it's definitely a cool one. The audio quality is really good on it. You know, well, as good as you're going to get with HF anyhow. I mean, you know, it's not a digital mode by any means. I mean, I can talk around the globe on D-Star with full crystal clear digital quality, similar to what we do here on Echolink. But, you know, HF is what it is. But for diehard operators and pretty much all of us, you know, we all got our start into some HF band, whether it was CB and 11 meters back in the day or whatever it was, you know, we all got our start somewhere. So this may, you know, rekindle your love of listening to overseas stations and things to that effect. What I actually like to do with it is connect to European shortwave receivers and hear how some American stations sound, you know, coming in from Europe, so when they're transmitting from the U.S. So lots of cool stuff you can do with this one. All right, Gary, I'll toss it over to you and see if you can drum up any check-ins here, anybody that wants to jump in. I'm going to light myself a nicotine stick, so I'm going to toss it over to you for a few. You know, maybe you've got some comments on the last couple of apps, the repeater book, you know, Echolink, any of the other stuff we've talked about along the way. You know, if you had any questions about the APRS stuff that we started off with this evening, or any other topics, information technology, portable device, computers, ham radio, any of that stuff that you want to talk about this evening, any comments are more than welcome on South Cars. This is VO1UKZ.
Well, as the saying goes, smoke 'em if you got 'em. I mean, it's KC2RMO. Yeah, you know, repeater book. There's a couple things on it. I'm going to, matter of fact, let me write them down. Repeater book. And our little software-defined radio. I've used that repeater book, and it has been an extremely helpful little tool to have along with you. Again, you know, you think about it, this is in the palm of your hand. You know, you're in a different city. You're out on the road, and you know, you want to find out what's on the air there. I mean, it's right there. It's at your fingertips. You know, so pretty cool stuff. The web controlled SDR on the phone, I have that on mine. And as Daryl was saying, you can do some pretty cool things with it. One of the coolest things I ever did was tune it to a European receiver and then call the frequency and hear myself coming out in Europe. You know, it was amazing. And that's a pretty neat thing. I mean, you know, it's you sure, you know, you have to be in love with the sound of your own voice. You have to have an ego, like, you know, but I did it just to see if you know if it would work, and sure enough it did. So that's pretty cool. You can spend a great deal of time fooling around with it. At first you're saying, well, you know, what good is this really going to do? But you get into it, and the more you learn about it, obviously the more you're going to find out its potential. So when we get our radio station back together again, I suppose I'll be playing with that some more. Actually, I probably would stand to be playing with it while we're waiting for the station to get back together, too. So that is definitely worth checking out. And again, the price is right. It's free. You can get the, I guess there's an upgraded version, as Daryl was saying, that lets you do a few things more. But, you know, I had a lot of fun with the free version. Let me buy a nickel. This is KC2RMO. We're on the TIN here on South Cars. And we're talking about different apps and that you can use in different platforms, particularly Android, to enhance the hobby. And it really is a remarkable world that we live in, to be able to do the things that we do with these little handheld devices. It's incredible. As we continue in our final half hour, we'll seek a few more check-ins, shall we? Let's see who's out there and has some comments for us. This is KC2RMO on South Cars, looking for check-ins right now. Nobody. Okay. Okay. I did want to mention one other thing, and this really isn't so much in the realm of a mobile device. But it is, Daryl did touch upon it a little bit when we were talking about the web SDRs. And that is the little dongle-type SDRs, like these little $19 dongles that you can buy. And for another $49 or so, you can buy an up converter with that thing. And you put it all together, and son of a gun, you've got yourself one pretty decent software-defined receiver. I mean, it really is great. I did that. I bought one of those Nuelec SDRs, a little dongle that it is designed initially to receive in the VHF to gigahertz range. You buy a thing called an up converter. You put that in line with it, and it brings it down into the HF range. And you are covering all kinds of stuff. And it's a great experience, and it's a great way to get your feet wet in software-defined radio for, you know, you're talking on the cheap here. I mean, it's the combination of everything, I think, was less than $100. And more fun, as they say, than the proverbial barrel of monkeys. It's like I had a ball with it. I had to take it apart when we redid the room, and I'm going to be putting that all back.
Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
Ability to listen to stations in pretty much all areas of the planet, from big cities to small towns, emergency response, fire departments, police agencies, just about everything you could ever think of. Ham radio repeaters in all different modes, Echolink, IROP, All-Star, D-Star, Moto Turbo, you name it. If you can think of listening to it, and it's, you know, probably in your area you can pick up a lot of them with this, it doesn't receive RF. This is the thing. All of the stations you're going to pick up, and there are thousands of these things on Scanner Radio on the app. It uses sources that come in from several different locations like Broadcastify and Radio Reference and a bunch of other ones. It pulls all of these sources together in a nice little app, organizes everything, you know, so it's very accessible. And when I say accessible, I mean, you know, easy to access, just, you know, in general, not particularly for low vision or differently abled operators or anything to that effect. But if you can see your screen, it's a very, very easy app to use and get. Okay, I think I'm back here. I just dropped it as soon as it said that I timed out. Hopefully I'm back.
You're catching it just in time.
All right. It, like you say, it has a few different real good features for searching. It'll
bring up nearby stations, again, using your device's built-in GPS. It does require data. If you're not outside, if you're outside your house and you're using it, you will be using your cellular data plan to pull in stations. It is a great piece of software, I got to say. It really is. I know when I was, I've got it set up, mine in particular, to give me notifications on my device. Now, this is not sending you emails or anything, just app notifications built into your device from this piece of software. You can set it up so that if a certain number of stations tune in to a particular channel, like, for instance, when they had the unpleasantness in Baltimore back a few weeks ago for... you know, just for a reference purpose. I was watching it live on CNN when I got this little alert came in on my app that 2,500 people were tuned into the Baltimore Emergency Response Station. So I pulled up the app, and I was watching on CNN when they were trying to put out the fire at one of the pharmacies up in Baltimore, and you heard the fire department come across the radio saying, guys, we've got no water pressure here to put the fire out. And here they were showing on CNN a couple of gang members puncturing a fire hose with two large knives. So I was watching on CNN and listening to the emergency response frequencies for a city that's literally a couple of thousand miles from here. So it's that's a really beneficial way to keep up with what's going on in the world around us. And again, like you say, it covers amateur radio stuff. It covers commercial. It covers public safety. So, I mean, what more do you want? Basically, all that's required is a station in the particular area that you're listening to have a scanner connected to their computer and be streaming audio from it that they're pulling over RF and streaming it to the Internet. And this app organizes everything together and presents it in a format where you can really digest the content. It's a very beneficial app for those of us that want to listen to various stations. And I guess in keeping with that, just let me drop it again here for a second. When it comes to radio in general, I'll just mention another app real quickly. It's not particularly a ham radio app, but InkSpace Radio. Check that one out as well. That'll give you all of your local radio stations. It, again, uses your GPS to formulate a list of local content. But then it also delivers you over-the-air radio stations that are being streamed through the Internet by the various stations and all of that. So you can pull in your BBC stuff that maybe you used to listen to on shortwave, or, you know, various music stations that maybe you picked up when you were visiting friends and family that you just can't get from your area. Rather than, you know, having 50 websites stored in your history that have all your favorite radio stations, TuneIn Radio is definitely a really good app to deliver a lot of different content. I listen to a lot of old-time radio broadcasts from the Rock Crime and Suspense station on it, and you get all the old-school shows like, you know, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, and Philip Marlowe, and, you know, all of those old Sherlock Holmes stuff from back in the day, all the old crime shows before TV was even invented, you know, back when radio was actually radio and radio only, so you can even listen to those old-school broadcasts using TuneIn Radio, so... Lots of different software-defined applications to deliver the world around us that we all just want to consume as much of as we can. With that, I see that it's coming up 20 minutes under the start of the second hour, so I will take a pause for the cause and see if there are any check-ins. Anybody that wants to jump in, just say hello, you know, ask a question about any of the topics we've covered here this evening, or... like you say, get your call sign out there. This is VO1 UKZ with the TIN for South Cars.
And KC2RMO with a couple of comments.
Yeah, go ahead and pick it up, Gary, and when you're done with your comments, go ahead and make another call, see if anybody wants to jump in here. This is VO1 UKZ.
Okay, we'll do that. Couple of things I just wanted to pass on. The with the dongle, using that for the more sophisticated systems, like the P25s and the talk groups and all that, it can be a little tricky unless I learned something or didn't learn something the way I should have. In other words, it looks like there was a little bit of finagling that you had to do with the software. to enable it. You had a lot of steps to go through in the setup, but it's certainly, as Daryl said, it's really doable. And I'll tell you what the advantage of that is. Sitting right here on the desk next to me, I have a Grecom digital scanner, a little handheld scanner, which was wickedly expensive. This thing was about $450. It took me almost a year to get this thing to work right because it had some problems. But we got them straightened out. It works great now. But that's $450 and a lot of problems. Or you can spend $20 and, you know, maybe do a little finagling with some software and you get the same result. I mean, which one do you want to do? It kind of makes sense. The app for the phone, that police scanner app, that scanner app, is terrific. I have that on my phone as well. Let me just buy a nickel. So again, let's do that cost analysis, shall we? That costs nothing, right? And works very well. The advantage, of course, between the actual physical scanner and even the software defined radio, is that you can tailor what you're scanning. You get to pick and choose what you're listening to. The phone app doesn't give you that option. It's what's being fed to you, but they all work, and they all work very well, as a matter of fact. So really good way to be able to listen to some of that digital stuff for free. You really can't beat it. So those were my little comments, and we are kind of winding things down. So this is pretty much, I think Daryl has maybe one more thing to touch on, but let's make this probably the last call. So any check-ins, come on aboard right now.
Yeah, Victor X-Ray Papa.
Well, we've got Rick and anybody else? Nope. Okay, sir, it's all yours. Rick, come on aboard.
Very good. I just wanted to kind of hint on that QRZ Now app. Apparently, there's actually a website, and did a little background check on it, and QRZ was created in August of 2011 to promote and assist amateur radio from all over the world with constantly updated news about DX equipment, propagation contests, awards, and so forth. And like I say, it is an actual website, and I've definitely put that in as one of my favorites. So I definitely have it on my tablet, and to also have it on the laptop now. But it is definitely a good, really good, well-informative website. A lot of good stuff in there. You have to look for it. But I think it's going to be my one little website to keep an eye on. Maybe once a week, look over the information. And want your XP back to net control.
Yeah, for sure. I took a look at that, and it looked terrific. So I'm going to do the same thing. I'm like, okay, we'll be checking that out and seeing what we can find out on it. Thank you, sir, for turning us on to that. So good little bit of information to have. We'll go back to the net. This is KC2 RMO.
Hi, QSL, Gary, and thanks again, Rick, for all your help and participation in the program here this evening as well. Definitely much appreciated. All right, guys, we're coming up to just 4 minutes before the end of the program here this evening. So briefly, I just want to touch on something we have mentioned in the past, and that's the Raspberry Pi. Tiny, tiny little mobile device. I'm using one here myself as a hotspot for D-Star. Just puts a hotspot on the air, an access point, and the ability to get into the D-Star system is the way I'm using mine without needing a repeater. It basically works like just a simplex hotspot. You work into it with your handheld or mobile rig. There are implementations, image files available online for the Raspberry Pi, which is a tiny little computer, a replacement for, you know, projects that around your home maybe that you're using a full computer
to run one particular task, like let's say an Echolink node, for instance, being as that we're using Echolink here. It can be used in replacement to a full computer system and programmed as a standalone hotspot controller, incorporating a low-powered or high-powered analog ham radio, or commercial radio for that matter, repurposed for ham radio purposes, connected to the Raspberry Pi, can make a very, very plausible hotspot and a lot smaller size than, let's say, you know, using a full laptop or a desktop computer to run an Echolink node. So that may be something, just as we close it down here this evening, to think about. Definitely something that can be used for many different ham radio projects and other information technology, home media server networking type projects as well. So the Raspberry Pi, definitely do your research, check it out. It's definitely a really good piece of hardware for experimentation purposes in keeping with the amateur radio theme and information technology theme of tonight's program. So definitely as we close it down and pass it over to Gordon or Kathy to close her down with the post-amble, or maybe even you're going to pick that aspect of it up, Gary, not quite sure. Whoever wants to grab it this evening, this has been VO1 UKZ for the monthly TIN program with South Cars. I'll pass it over to you, Gary, if you're going to do the post-amble or whoever's going to do it, pick it up. This is VO1 UKZ, St. 73s from St. John's, Newfoundland. Thanks, everybody, for joining us this evening.
Yep, I have it right here in my hands. Daryl, it's been a, as always, it's great working with you. And it's been a real pleasure, and it's been a great net. And thank you very much for being net control on this. It's been a terrific evening. And this has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VoIP net schedules and general information may be found on the voip.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been VO1 UKZ. I'm Gary, KC2RMO, saying 73, and closing this VoIP session. Thank you for your participation. This net is closed.